it's been interesting, like owning my age and being like, I'm an adult woman who can speak on these things because I bridged this gap of adult to hanging out with teenage girls. So it's, I'm just trying to own it, own the weird space.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. This week, I am talking with Chelsea Gooden, author, keynote speaker, and screenwriter, whose new book, Underestimated, The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls, is coming out in March of 2024. Today, I'm talking with Chelsea about what I call inner stuff, the thoughts, ideas, and attitudes that affect your work, even if you're not fully conscious of it. So, Chelsea, I'm curious, does creating and sharing your work with the world come easily to you?
I actually am going to give a bold answer and say yes, which I feel like no one probably usually answers that. I think it's easy. It's easier for me, I would say, than other people because of the amount of just enthusiasm and support I have gotten from a young age from my parents. I feel like I definitely have always been like, go for it type of parenting. And I've definitely, even when I've made mistakes or failed, like I had had a boldness about me that's like, whatever, I'm going to try again. I'm going to put that out there. And I mean, I'm going to share some struggles. It's not that I don't struggle, but I would say I have an easier time than I think most do.
Yeah. Well, props to your parents. That's really great. I love hearing that. As a parent myself, you know, it's like, it's fuel for me to just be encouraging, which I think there's a dichotomy between parenting. Like, are you encouraging or are you like, critical might be too strong a word. It might not be too strong a word, but are you like pointing out what they're doing wrong or are you just like pointing out what they're doing right? So
the difference I would make is that parents can go into teaching mode. Mm-hmm. So, and it feels like a criticism to the kid. Right. So they feel like they're being critiqued, where the parent just feels like they're trying to teach them the best way to do it, to be helpful. Because parents do want to teach their kids, but then there's a misinterpretation oftentimes from the kid where they feel judged and criticized about it.
Right. And then I know that when we're feeling judged, it's just like shutdown time, right?
Exactly. And the parent's intention is always good. It's not that. It's just, yeah, there's a real sensitivity to judgment for anyone, for any human being. If you feel judged, walls go up no matter what.
Yeah. I'm curious if there are any parts of the work that you do, writing, speaking, activism, that kind of skeeve you out, give you the heebie-jeebies. And if so, how have you worked with that?
Yeah, I would say, and it kind of ties back to putting my work out there, it's the feeling of being misunderstood, that if I'm going to put myself out there, I try to be really authentic and really vulnerable and open and honest. And so the idea of someone misunderstanding me and my intentions, that my intentions are good, it just totally gives me the heebie-jeebies. And that comes with an understanding, though, that everyone's perception is out of my control. I cannot control how people perceive me, and everyone has a different reality going on in their head. So I have to sit with that, and it gives me the heebie-jeebies for sure that I may indeed be misunderstood, and I have to just accept that.
So talking about being judged and misunderstood, and we were referring to the inner critic in the first batch of questions as well, what kinds of things does your particular inner critic love to tell you?
That I didn't do it perfectly enough, that I could have done more, that I didn't think of everything. So it's definitely tied to perfectionism, which I consider myself a recovering perfectionist at this point, because I work so hard to create self-compassion and space for flaws and imperfections in my life. But it takes a lot of, when that inner critic comes in, I'm like, okay, I can choose to subscribe to that narrative or I can choose not to. Like, there is a choice inside of my head, and making sure that's really precisely going on. Lots of times we can be a victim to that inner critic, right? Where we just get sucked into it and it spirals us into that. And I can go into obsessive thinking or overanalyzing. And I've had to do definitely a lot of hard work to interrupt that process.
All right. Chelsea, I want to shift gears a little bit. Do you mind sharing with us how old you are?
I am 40 years old, which I know I don't look that, and everyone thinks I'm so young. And I think that's why I do so well with teenage girls. But it's been interesting, like, owning my age and being like, I'm an adult woman who can speak on these things, because I bridged this gap of adult to hanging out with teenage girls. So it's, I'm just trying to own it, own the weird space. I've just turned 40 though, and I'm happy to be 40. I feel like women, I've been told so often women's careers explode in their 40s. So I'm excited for what's to come.
Yeah. Are there ways in which achieving this milestone, which happy birthday, by the way, that's very exciting. I always feel like it's better to be at the dawn of a new era than at the tail end of an old one, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious. So like entering your 40s, has it changed anything about your thoughts about like what's possible for you, or impacted just to how you kind of think about the work that you're going to be doing in the near future in any way?
My platform and the microphones that are being handed to me have been much larger just in, you know, the last year and this upcoming year with the book. And I feel incredibly ready to speak into a larger space, a larger audience. And I think that I needed that life experience in a big way to be able to know the types of thoughts that I wanted to share with the world in a big way. And so I'm excited. I feel like I have so much more life to live, and I really have intense relationship to time in general. Like, I do not waste my time. I do not have regrets, really. I try to make every day and every moment, there's choice behind it. So for me, age is not something I feel, I've never had a bad attachment to age. I've always had a, like, I feel wiser every year that I live. And I'm so thankful that I've learned the lessons. And if I look back and if I had had this same microphone that I have right now when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have been ready for it. And so now I feel so much like I needed the ups and downs of life to be able to speak the way that I want to now.
Is there some thought or belief or even a collective kind of belief that's just sort of pervasive in our culture that you feel like you were taught or internalized that perhaps growing older has helped you come to see as being like just a total crock?
Yes. It is the belief that we need to do, be, have something in order to be happy and fulfilled when we are already whole, exactly the way we are, that we are enough as is, that there's not some career success or material wealth or love of your life, or there's nothing outside of you that's going to ever make you feel whole and enough, and that you have to find that from within.
I love that insight. That sounds like something that could potentially be hard won. Was there like an experience, or how did you come upon that?
Yeah, I think honestly, working with teenage girls, I always say I've learned from them, right? The book is about their wisdom and their power. And I have been in the trenches of seeing girls thinking that they need to get straight A's to be enough, to have value, to have worth, or that they need to get into a good college to have value, or that they need to have a cute boyfriend, or that something outside of them is going to make them feel better and whole. And I had to be the person that was like, no, you're perfect exactly the way you are. You're wonderful exactly the way you are. And when I found myself constantly messaging that and being that type of voice in their life, I realized I had to be that voice for myself too. Like, you got to practice what you preach. And I had to live that truth in my own life for it to come out authentically and in a heartfelt way to them. And I wanted to model that for them.
Oh, I love that two-way street, right? It kind of relates back to what you were saying about parents can go into teaching mode. It's like, if you're just in teaching mode with younger people, you're missing this huge opportunity because they can teach you, right?
Yeah, because when I say to a girl, like, your grades are not your worth, they get actually really emotional. They think I've said something radical to them. something controversial to them. And so I love to permission like, oh, you know what? If you did get a C on that, that's okay. I know you're amazing. You have nothing to prove to me. And they're like, what? You know, and it's not that they're getting a C. It's not like they're actually, it's just that they would be allowed to, that they would still be a cool, awesome person with that grade.
Mm. Yes. Amen. I am curious how you relate to the idea of being, I think I have an idea of how you're going to answer this question, but I'm curious how you relate to the idea of either being an introvert or an extrovert.
Yes, I think you've already assessed that I am an extreme extrovert. I have taken the Myers-Briggs test with percents and it was like 100% extrovert. But it's such a nice tool, honestly, in a society that I can recognize it's often easier for extroverts in the way society's been constructed. But I really value the introverts in my life too. And I know the different, you know, I think both have equal value in a huge way. But I love being around people. People are my art form in so many ways. It's like deeply understanding people and telling their stories. So I love to be curious and ask people questions and get them to open up and hear what their truth is and help them be more honest or like share something they're scared to share. Like that's such an exciting space for me. So I would say all my work exists in my social communal activity.
Is there any other like kind of, I don't know, skills assessment or personality assessment or astrology? Like, I don't know, any school of thought that has helped you figure out a really like a great fit for you to be able to give back and do your work in the world?
Yeah. So I love personality assessments and stuff. There's one called Strengths Finders. I don't know if you've ever heard of Strengths Finders.
That's a book, right?
Yeah, well, you get a code in the back of it that you take a test. It takes like 20, 30 minutes. And it's this idea that they've narrowed it down. It's through Gallup. They've done all this research around, and they found 34 commonly seen strengths that people have. And they were trying to figure out what strengths, quote unquote, successful people share. But what they found was that successful people just know what their strengths are and only focus on their strengths. So when you take the test, you are only given your top five rather than the whole list of 34, because naturally humans are taught to go to the bottom of the list and be like, what do I need to get better at?
Exactly.
Which is not what you're supposed to do. Instead, you only get your top five, which is like a very unique fingerprint. It's a much more unique fingerprint than, say, Myers-Briggs, where there's only 16 potentials that you could get. And then you focus on that and you live in that space and you find ways to live and breathe. And if you're building a team around you, you find a team member that has a strength that maybe would help you out that's not your strength.
Mm, that's cool. Do you remember what one of your top five strengths are?
Yeah. So in terms of, yeah, I actually have one that I have communication is one of mine. And I have one that's called futuristic, which I very much can kind of see how things are going to play out. And yeah. And then I have one that's, there's a couple. That's like, it's called relator, which is very much a much more extroverted social talent of deeply relating with people. So I always love people to take the test blind though, not knowing what the strengths are so that they can just take them and then see what appears. But it's so helpful. I give it as a gift to people all the time. Like I give the book with the code in the back as a gift. And then all the girls I work with have taken it. I always do a session talking about their strengths. And for them, it's revelatory because everyone's always telling them what's wrong with them. And or they're everyone's focused on how they can improve, right? And so this moment arises where they're like, wait, that's something I'm good at? That's who I am? Like it's all about embracing your authentic self.
That is such a cool hot tip. I'm going to share that with my daughter. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
That is the end of our section of questions on the inner stuff with Chelsea. Thank you for tuning in. So be sure and join us for the final installment of Chelsea's interview in Friday's episode, where we're going to cover what's coming up for her, and I'll ask her my fast five questions. Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part three of this interview.
Some people might think weird is a bad word, but I use it in a way that's really just about embracing your uniqueness. And the more that you step into spaces that let that shine, then you are going to naturally attract the people who are into that and want in on it and want to be a part of it and want to spend time with you and who are weird in a similar way and bring that out of you.
I'm Kate Hanley, and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Friday.